Well, believe it or not, we're today going to turn back to a series we started last year where we look at specific individuals that Jesus met where they were in life, and most of these were miraculous encounters. And so let me give you a reminder of three statements true about every single person you meet, no matter where you are. It is always the case that people are spiritual beings. They may not act like it, and they may not want to admit that, and they may think they're okay in their flesh and blood, but I promise you, every single person has a void in the human heart and the life that can only be met spiritually. All persons are sinful beings. People also don't like that. We like to think we've got it all together. And we like to shake our fist in the face of God when we can't control things like we know better than He. And the truth of the matter is, we are part of a fallen world and fallen people tainted by sin and shall forever be that way until the end of time when God makes everything right. And then thirdly, every person, being a spiritual person and being a sinful person, is redeemable, is savable. There's not a person who's so far gone their life can't be changed. So what Jesus does and what we're looking at in this series, we're looking at specific individuals that had a personal encounter with Jesus in the first century in the Judean area, Israel area. And today we're going to turn to a lady in chapter 5 of the gospel that Mark gives to us through the Holy Spirit. Now in Mark chapter 5, let me start off by saying that we were last in this series 7 weeks ago. I think when we last were here, I told you to be 5 weeks until we return, and then between, hey, a couple weeks ago I did a snow sermon, so if you weren't here, that was an interesting topic. Last week weren't here, so it added 2 weeks. So we had 7 weeks now since we were last in this series of the encounters that Jesus had along the way. So we're coming today. I don't know what to call this lady. I don't know, because this sounds horrible, but you could call her the bleeding lady, you could call her the hemorrhaging lady, or you could call her the lady or woman who touched Jesus' garment or touched Him. So I don't know exactly the best title for it, but this is the lady we're talking about. So the lady that touched Jesus' garment with an issue of blood, the story is found three times in the New Testament. You got it here in Mark chapter 5. It's in Matthew chapter 9 and Luke chapter 8. So three times you've got the story of this lady with a hemorrhaging of blood that would not stop. For 12 years, she dealt with this ailment, and you'll see in the account that doctors could not figure it out. Now, here's what's interesting about this little account, and it will connect us to 7 weeks ago. The miracle of Mark chapter 5 is a triple-decker sandwich. It is a miracle that is sandwiched within a miracle. Now, remember 7 weeks ago, we looked at the miraculous raising of Jairus' daughter. Jairus runs there where Jesus is. Hey, my daughter's about to die. He's a broken man, a broken father. Please come and heal her. Bring her back to life before she dies. So Jesus starts on His way. And when you look in verse 24, I think it's in verse 24, it says, Jesus now goes with Jairus, and there's a great crowd of people following Him, and they have thronged Him. They're pressing in on Him. They're about to choke Him to death, literally, is what the word means. Now, as Jesus makes His way to Jairus' house, who's a great Jewish official in the synagogue, as He makes His way to Jairus' house, and we talked about this 7 weeks ago, there is an interruption. And that interruption is this lady with the bleeding who touches His garment. So it's a triple-decker type story. A miracle within a miracle. So look at the text, and we're going to read through it, and then I'll unpack what happened. So as Jesus is on His way with Jairus in verse 24, verse 25 introduces us to a certain woman. So all we know about her, we don't have her name, we don't know anything about her family, if there is one, her occupation, if there is one, know nothing about that. All we know is a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but she rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, She came there in the crowd behind him and she touched his garment. Here's her reason in verse 28. She was thinking this: if I may just touch his clothes, if I can just touch his garment, I shall be healed, I shall be whole. So she does that. And immediately, straightway in verse 29, the fountain or issue or flow of her blood was dried up. And she felt or knew in her body that she had been healed of that plague. Now Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, he turned himself about there in that crowd and said out loud, "Who touched my clothing?" And his disciples said to him, kind of sarcastically, "You see the multitude pressing in, thronging around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" Jesus ignored them. And he looked around about to see that woman, her, that had done this thing. Now the poor woman in verse 33, she is fearing and trembling because she knew what was done in her. And so she came there where Jesus was after he asked the question, "Who touched me?" And she fell down before him and she told him everything, told him all the truth of what she'd done. And then Jesus looked at her and said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. It has made you whole. You go now in peace and be whole or healed of your affliction or your plague." All right, this is a story. This is a lady. She interrupts their trip to Jairus' house. She's got a serious medical ailment for 12 years she's dealing with. And she starts thinking about it. And she says, "If I can just touch this garment, I think something will happen." So let me give you several hooks now to put some meat on in the story. Number one, when you look at this lady, we're reading about verse 25, verse 26. I'm going to say this. If you are a person in relatively good health, it is impossible for you to understand and appreciate what this lady is dealing with. It's hard to read this story and grasp its significance and the suffering she is enduring if you are a person who's not dealt much with illness. So we read in verse 25 about this lady, that she, all it says about her, is that she had an issue of blood for 12 years. Now, nowhere in the text does it explain what the issue of blood is. In the context, and based on those scholars and experts who know the language and know the storyline and all that, it appears in verse 25 that she either has a chronic menstrual disorder or some kind of a uterine hemorrhage. Okay? Now again, it's very hard to identify with that. And the way God has created male and female, yes, world, yes, United States of America, yes, congressman, yes, president, God has created male and female. The way God has created male and female, there are differences in the anatomy. I'm going to flat out tell you, us guys, we can't understand and can't fully appreciate what this lady is dealing with. But as a lady, the way God has created male and female, and the way things work in the female body, if you are a lady, you truly understand and feel for and appreciate the significance of a flow of blood that just will not stop. Here's what it says. She's got an issue of blood, and notice here, she's been dealing with this for 12 years. This is bleeding that will never stop. They can't get it to stop. And we read later in the story that she's been to doctors and she's done everything she can with doctors and they can't figure out what's going on. Now here's part of what's hidden in the story. To be a lady with either a menstrual disorder or some kind of a hemorrhaging with a flow of blood like this, to be a lady in this culture and context means several things that cause suffering. Let me give you four of those super quickly. Number one, she is suffering physically with a continual flow of blood from the body. Anybody is going to grow pale. You're going to grow weak. You're going to grow anemic. And you're going to have a loss of energy. This is a lady for 12 years of suffering. She not only suffers physically, she also suffers socially. If she were married prior to this unending flow of blood, her husband probably divorced her. She probably was not even married and also most likely was childless. And in this culture, that is a very serious issue with the suffering socially. Now, financially, we read in the next verse, she had spent all the money she had. The lady is now in poverty. She does not have a penny to her name. She's given everything she could give, trying to find some deliverance and healing from this issue of blood. And finally, and what is really painful for this first century context, is she is suffering spiritually. According to the Jewish law, she is considered unclean. Now, that is not for punitive reasons, it is for hygienic reasons. And so, according to the Jewish law, as a lady with an issue of blood that is beyond the normal pattern of life, she is considered unclean and barred from the temple. She's not allowed to go into the temple for worship. She's not allowed to go into the temple to meet with God's people for encouragement, for folks to pray with her, anything like that. And she's not allowed to touch anybody because of her ceremonial spiritual uncleanness. This is a lady in verse 25, and all we read here is she's a certain woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. Her condition has left her on the fringes of society. In verse 26, she's gone to doctors. They've tried everything they can, and she has spent all the money she has. And here's what it says: because it was a disease they did not know how to cure, she was not being bettered in any way, but her condition has actually grown worse. She is living every day of her life under a death sentence. Literally, her life is draining from her body day by day. And she knows that this issue of blood is eventually going to kill her and take her life. That is the suffering. Now we turn to the next aspect of the story. You not only find in the story of this lady great suffering, you also find, starting in verse 27, a great faith. Now, if you wanted to kind of summarize her like this, I call her a sick woman with a healthy faith. Now, let me tell you why I think that's important. Because here's what I find in life. She's a sick person with a healthy faith. And usually in our day and time, we flip the two. We are healthy people with a sick faith, with a weak faith, right? We don't have the faith we need to have. So here we've got a lady, a very unhealthy, sick lady, and yet with a healthy faith. Here's what it says about her faith in verse 27. All it takes is she hears about this man named Jesus. She's heard reports about him. She's heard about other people who were helped. She's heard about other people he's cared for. She's heard about his compassion to the downtrodden and those who are in great need. And so she says here, I've heard about who Jesus is. And here's what she decides. I'm going to go into the crowd from behind. Because really, she shouldn't be amongst people, ceremonial uncleanness. She can't touch anybody physically. I shouldn't be out here. So I'm going to go in behind. And she says, here's my idea. If I can just get behind him, maybe I can touch his garment. It's the one last hope she's got. There's not a doctor in all the area who could help her. Nobody knows what's causing the flow of blood. They've tried everything they know, and they don't know a whole lot in that day and time. And she's just thinking, my one hope here, if I can get to him, I believe Jesus can help me. Now, watch the word believe there. The word believe there is faith. Okay, I've got enough faith to believe if I get to this guy, this miracle worker, and she may not know much more about him, but she's thinking, if I can get to this guy, I believe, faith, I believe if I can get to him, and even if I just touch his garment, I think he can make a difference. That's what she decides to do. Notice what she says. It says she's thinking here, if I can just touch his garment. The word there more accurately means the hem of his garment. Now, here's what's interesting. If you go back in the books, probably Leviticus in that area, they would talk about how the spiritual leaders would wear a robe, and on that robe would be four tassels. It is believed that even Jesus and walking around, according to the word in the Greek here, that even that word would refer to a tassel hanging from his robe. And a lot of times they'd put the robe on and they would swing one tassel over the shoulder and it'd be hanging down the back. Now, wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something if she gets there and realizes there's a pull chain built into the light fixture? And she gets there where Jesus is, and it's like, if I can just touch his garment, and she looks and sees that tassel hanging down, and it's like, that's a bell I'm going to ring. Now she gets behind him. She's thinking, if I can just touch the garment. And there's one more thing here. The word there, touch, doesn't do it justice. The word there, touch, means to clutch and grasp it. Okay, now here's what I'm thinking. I do not think she viewed Jesus as a touch screen at Wendy's to decide, do I want Coke or lemonade today? I don't think so. I don't think it was a touching deal. Like, let me just touch the screen. No. She clutched and grasped. Because if you're in a desperate state of need, I'll tell you what. If you tell me I can hold on for dear life and I'm going to get better, I'm holding on, y'all. So she goes up behind him. She grasps and holds on to that tassel, the hem of his garment. And at that point, we read in verse 28 her thought. Here's what she's thinking. If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. Now, I don't know if I'm right on this. Now, think about this. She's going through the crowd of people. She knows she's not supposed to be there. Not supposed to touch anybody. Ceremonially unclean. And the whole way she's going through the crowd of people in a weakened state, pale, lack of energy, the whole way she's going through there, I just wonder, is she repeating in her little brain, if I can just touch his garment? Okay, if I can, and it keeps her going, if I can just get to his garment, if I can just get close enough to touch his garment, and she keeps weaving her way through there, and she keeps saying, if I can just touch his garment, I think I can be made whole. Now, you may wonder, isn't that strange? Why would you think if I can just touch the garment? And I'm going to tell you, it very well may have been some superstition. Honestly, it may have been some superstition, miracle worker. If I can just touch a garment, I don't know that, but I'm going to tell you this. I do know that she had some faith in something there. Amen. And it changed everything when she realized who he was. Now let me point something out to you. You may think it's strange that people think if I can just touch a garment. Okay, now watch this. Let me put a verse up here. Earlier in this book, in chapter 6, here's a summary statement you find, verse 56. Wherever Jesus entered villages or cities or countryside, they were laying the sick in the marketplaces and they were entreating him, begging him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak. If we can just get close enough to touch the fringe of his cloak, and here's what it says, and as many as touched even the fringe of his cloak, they were cured. So maybe this lady, as she had heard about Jesus, says, I've heard people say that if you can just get close enough to touch the tassel, if you can just get close enough to touch the hem of the garment, people are being healed. So her thinking, I'm going to get up in there with my great faith. And if I can just get close enough to touch his clothes, I think I'll be healed. And here's the third aspect of it. Surprise, surprise. There was a great result to this great faith. Very simply stated, verse 29, short and sweet. Immediately, at once, her faith was rewarded. The fountain of her blood was dried up. Now notice here. There was not a simple band-aid applied to the issue. It got to the very foundation and source and cause of the issue. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt and knew in her body that she had been healed. Now, because I'm an inquisitive person, I want to know, was it a physical sensation in your body that told you that? How did you know? But I'll also say this. If you've been sick a long, long time with something, and all of a sudden it disappears, you know something's changed. Amen. So she gets up there, rings the bell on the tassel. I'm playing with that. She touches the tassel, touches the hem of his garment, and she knows immediately, it says here, the fountain is dried up. She knows that she's been healed of that affliction. I want to tell y'all something real quick. For the first time in 12 years, listen to me, for the first time in 12 years, she's well. Can you imagine a party? Can you imagine? I know I've said this so many times. If they had something back then like a phone or an email or a text or a social media deal, can you imagine the flood of messages going out? Listen, y'all, for the first time in 12 years, y'all come over to my house and we eat together. I can call my mom and we can go shopping for the first time in 12 years. I ain't got to worry about ceremonial uncleanness again for the first time in 12 years. Now, here's what happens in the story. Her idea at this point is to slip away and disappear into the crowd. And honestly, this is the end of the story. This should be it, right? We're in a great crowd. They're all pressing against where Jesus is. Stranger anonymously goes up and touches his garment. Going to slip away. She can tell she's been healed. It worked. Everything she'd heard about this guy, if you just touch his garment, it works. And she's going to slip away. Well, there's more to the story. So here's the last part. I'm going to call this. I ain't sure this is accurate. I'm going to call it this. There's one more thing here that's got to happen. And it's a great statement or great confession now. So people know about this lady and her touch. Now look what happens. So verse 30. It should have been the end of the story, but it's not. So she touches him. Her body is healed. Now here goes Jesus now because he's got a purpose in this. He wants a statement from the lady. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him. Strange sentence there where I come from. This is the Son of God, omniscient, knows everything. But here's what's interesting. I'll come back to this a little bit later. With all these people thronged around him, all these people rubbing up against him and touching him, he knew there was one lady, there was one somebody who touched him with a touch of faith. And when that happened, he knew in his spirit that power's left my being now and been transferred to this lady for healing. Have you ever been in a place you could tell that power's been transferred? I have. Let me take you back 2 weeks ago. So a couple of weeks ago, we had a little snowstorm. I love the snow. Hope we get more. I love the snow. It's beautiful. I don't told you last couple of times, I don't care to lose power more in a day or two, but I love the snow. And I love it. I can't help it. It's okay. Curse me. That's okay. I'll forgive you. God might forgive you. Well, go on. Pam, I love the snow. I know. She can't stand it. And by the way, it's so good seeing y'all here this morning. I was thinking about you this week. So anyway, so I do. Now here's what's interesting. So you know, and Penny Stable just told me this morning, poor thing, 4 or 5 days, no power, clean the refrigerator out, freezer, throw everything out. So we have a little tiny generator. It's about 30 years old, close to 30 years old, I'm estimating. A small generator, just enough to run a freezer, run a refrigerator. So we do that. We stick it outside, run a cord in, plug the refrigerator in, move it to freezer. And it did that for like 4 or 5 days, trying to preserve all the food. And I think it worked because none of us got sick yet. Right? If it didn't work, Barney, right? If it didn't work, we'd be sitting throwing up, right? Because lunch meat, mayonnaise, and stuff like that. Okay. So he said he thinks I'm good. So I think it worked. But here's what's interesting. And you know this, but that little tiny generator, 1,000-watt generator, plug it in, and I'm going to tell you something. Now watch. This is like brain surgery. You know what? I could tell you exactly when the compressor kicked in the freezer. I could tell you exactly when the compressor kicked in the refrigerator. You know why? Because the generator about conked out. Why? Because of power, right? It's generating power and leaving that running through the cord. And once it hits the terminals there on that compressor, that refrigerator, generator said, whoa, that's a load. And then it came back up for air. It did. Now watch this. I knew exactly when the power left that generator. Can you imagine this scene now of this setting? And now I know Jesus isn't a generator, but can you just imagine this scene when he's there amongst a whole pile of people? Listen, and the whole crowd's moving together. He had to Jairus' house.
And all of a sudden, and nobody knows this, people all over the place, all of a sudden he stops and says, somebody's compressor just kicked in. Because I just felt a load leave my being. Okay, you see what I'm saying? So Jesus says in the verse, immediately he knew in himself that power had gone out of him. So here's what he does. He turns around and asks this question. Who touched my clothing? Now, out of context, if you didn't know the story here, you would think, who is this kind of stuck up, snobby person wonder about if I didn't touch and dirty his pretty shirt? That's not at all what he's asking. Jesus looks at that crowd and says, who just touched me? Now, this is interesting because even the disciples are following along. They're like, Lord, we hate to remind you of the obvious, but don't you see the crowds of people? And don't you realize that almost every single one of them at some point in this journey to Jairus' house, they have touched you? And I think they were thinking, the question should not be, who touched me? The question should be, who hasn't touched you? Everybody's touched you. But watch this. A touch of faith is very different from a superficial touch amongst the crowd. And so Jesus turns around, knowing power is going out of the generator, has left there, and asks the question, who has touched my clothes? Now you say, Jesus, how did he not know who touched him? Oh, no, 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 no. Here's what I think. I don't think this is so Jesus would know who touched him. I think it's so she would know that he knew that she's touched him. That's what I think. So he asked the question, because we're looking at a statement, we need a confession and statement. And then his disciples make their famous statement in verse 31. Well, what do you mean? I mean, this is crazy. Who do you mean who's touched you? Everybody's touched you, but I'm going to tell you what. There's one person in that crowd that day that knew exactly why he asked that question. And she's there. And now she's getting scared. I'm not supposed to be in the crowd. I'm not supposed to be touching people with an issue of blood and unclean by the Jewish law. So now she starts getting scared. So Jesus looks around, ignores the disciples' ridiculous question, although we know where they're coming from. He looks around, he's trying to see that one who has touched him. Now here at this point, you need to realize something. If Jesus had not stopped to confront this lady and get a statement of faith from her and give her a statement of faith, do you realize nobody in that crowd that day except that woman would have known she'd been healed? That makes sense? If there had not been this conversation, she's going to slip away and disappear in the crowd. If Jesus had not stopped and confronted her in a conversation, nobody around then would have known what just happened except her. So he looks around to find the lady who's done this thing. In verse 33, here she comes, scared to death. She's fearing. She's trembling. Because she knows exactly what had happened. She was going to escape notice. And so she comes there. She falls down before him. She confesses everything. And you know what? That's exactly what Jesus wanted her to do. Not even so much just for her sake, but for the sake of all those people in that crowd to know what had just happened with this miracle. So Jesus turns to her in verse 34. She makes a statement. It's a great statement. She's got to confess everything. But Jesus makes a great statement as well and says to her, daughter. Now, if you like Bible trivia, this is the only time in all four Gospels that Jesus uses the word daughter for a woman he meets. This is the only time. 12 years of suffering. 12 years of being ostracized. And Jesus calls her a daughter. So Jesus looks at her and says, daughter, almost like there's a new relationship now between me and you and the family of God. Daughter, your faith is what's made you well. No, hold on. But we thought it was a touch, right? Because even if she's coming superstitiously, she's thinking, if I can just touch, right? There's faith there, but it's the touch. And Jesus, no, it's not the touch of the garment. It's the faith. Amen.
Amen.
That's made the difference. So, daughter, your faith is what has made you well or made you whole. And that word there, make whole, means has saved you. Now, it's interesting because it's almost like Jesus says, it's not just a physical healing you've gotten, but now we're transitioning to spiritual healing as a daughter of the King here. Okay, it's not just the physical healing. It's not your touch that did it. It's your faith that's made you whole. And oh, by the way, you know what I also thought of? In the whole story, this is pretty good. She thought that she was the one touching Jesus when really it was Jesus touching her. Ooh, isn't that neat? So listen, it's your faith that's made you whole. So here's what you do. You go in peace now. And you be made whole. You be healed of your plague or of your affliction. And she never again has to worry about this issue of blood. Now, that's the story of the lady. Bleeding lady, hemorrhaging lady, lady who touched Jesus' garment, whatever you want to call it. But do not forget the context. Where are we headed when this happens? We're headed to Jairus' house. And Jairus has got to be thinking, I shared this 5-7 weeks ago, Jairus has got to be thinking, why right now did this lady come? I mean, couldn't we get to my house, raise my daughter first? She could have come tomorrow. It's an interruption. Now watch. Jairus is standing there. Guess what? He witnesses this entire event and conversation. And you can't tell me that this did not encourage Jairus on the spot to know that faith like that can bring healing to a lady bleeding for 12 years. And guess how old his own daughter was? 12 years old. And now Jairus is encouraged by the interruption here. And knowing that even though now they come, the next verse say, Jairus, forget it. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the master anymore. But you know what I think Jairus is thinking? Hold on. If this lady can sneak up into the crowd and just touch his garment and be healed after 12 years of sickness, I think I'm going to keep the faith. And I think I'm going to believe that if we keep walking to the house, even though y'all just told me she's died, if we keep walking to the house, I think the same power that healed this lady after 12 years of suffering is a power that can now bring my daughter back to life, who's been alive 12 years on the earth, has now died because of illness. It's a triple decker. It's a miracle within a miracle. So let me give you two little takeaways and we shall be done. Number one, God still responds to those who reach out to Him by faith. In that crowd that day, there were lots of people touching Jesus and lots of people with needs. But only one got help because it was a touch of faith. Many touched Him. But only one was transformed. And let me tell you why that kind of it wakes us up some. I'm going to promise you, guarantee you right now this morning in churches all across this country, I'm going to guarantee you there's people gathering. And I know we're relatively small in number compared to big old churches with thousands of folks. But I'm going to tell you what, in crowds of people, I promise you, there's many people who are attending, but very few are going to actually reach out by faith and touch them. It's just the way it is. It is the way it is. And I promise you, on the authority of this book, still today, those who reach out to Him by faith, He does still work. And He does still save. The truth of the matter is, like that crowd, you can be really, really close to God in church and still miss Him. And most of them missed Him. But this lady, in need, with fingers of faith. Now the second little takeaway. Not only does He still respond today to those who reach out by faith, but He also still wants us to share openly what He's done in our lives. See, the only reason we've got this conversation is so she wouldn't just slip away into the crowd. We need a statement now, right? We need a confession. You tell us what happened. Share your story. Share your testimony. And among all this crowd of people, they heard about this lady's faith. And all it took was a touch. So that is the story of the lady who touched Jesus' garment. embedded within the story of raising Jairus' daughter, and two little takeaways as we go. So let's pray as we close things out today and have an opportunity to respond to our text. And as we bow together, I want to give you the opportunity during this time of invitation. You can come up to the altar to pray if you need to do that. You can pray there at your seat, but it very well may be the case that you've walked in today with some needs, maybe some things nobody else knows about. And I don't know, I kind of wonder maybe today this story, maybe the delay with the snow has made it happen today on purpose because you're here today and there's something in your life and Jesus is passing by, okay? There's a crowd, he's passing by, and just like this lady in faith reached out to touch the hem of his garment, just reached out for his attention, for his work, asking for it. That's what you're doing today. So just know this place is a place where you can be comfortable in reaching out to him. And I want you to do that. If there's something today you need to pray about, ask for his touch. And I also want you to think about as you pray, are you sharing the story with others of what God has done in your life with your salvation, his provision each day? And then also on this cold Sunday morning, just in case you've come into this building without a relationship with Christ, you've never been born again, you've never said, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me, you were raised from the dead, and I'm confessing as a sinner that I need you as my Savior. Make you Lord of my life. So this is just a good quiet time once I close my mouth for you to pray and reflect on our story today. Something in your life to lift up in prayer. And at the end of our service, you know, if you need to talk with me, I'm available afterwards. So let's do that. I'm going to be quiet. You pray and I'll close us in prayer after that. Father, thank you for the honor of knowing you and the privilege of prayer to speak with you. You've heard concerns that have been lifted to you. Some today have done like this lady, and they've kind of come in today amongst this gathering, and they've just reached out with fingers of faith through prayer, asking for your intervention. And so I'm adding prayers to that, asking for your work on behalf of ones who have made that request today. Help us in the meantime, though, to keep the faith and to know that whether you work and respond immediately or next week or next year, the responsibility is ours. Do not fear. Only keep believing. And so, thank you for hearing our prayers of concern. Thank you for hearing our prayers of gratitude today. As we leave this place, we go into a new week. We want your guidance in our lives in this week. And we want to be pleasing to you through this week. Help us to do that. Help us to be faithful followers of Christ Jesus. And we do thank you for the story, embedded within a miraculous story of an anonymous poor lady who simply had enough faith to say, if I can just get near enough to touch his garment, he'll work. Lord, do that in our lives, and we come before you and we lift up our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.